Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Our guests today are Rachel Baird and Harry Reynolds with the City of Alamosa. Welcome to you both. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yep. Thanks for having us, Chris.
You know, Harry, I want to get into, we're on the south side and we're on State Avenue, so we're going to jump into State Avenue and the work that the City of Alamosa has been doing there. But before we get too deep into that, I wonder how the rain, the afternoon rains. We've had a really rainy June and July above normal. I wonder how that's affecting your work and your crew's works out there.
You know, it slowed us down a little bit, especially last week. Typically, a normal rainstorm, you know, might slow us down in an afternoon. But last week, especially that big storm, it held us up for a couple of days. But nothing we couldn't work through, and we're up and running again.
You know, we've had a pleasure of watching the State Avenue construction. I was at Adams State when First Street was going, so I saw all that. Now here I am on State Avenue, and I'm seeing this very similar project. But I have to say that it seems from looking at it that it's going pretty smoothly, and I know nothing about that.
Yeah, you certainly had a front row seat to all the construction going on. You know, we knew State Avenue was going to be a challenge, you know, whether it's the commercial side, you know, kind of the northern end of state into the residential. We had a few unexpected delays on the first phase with you know, the underground storage tank that we found. We resolved it through OPS, which is Oil and Public Safety. So we did the proper testing and followed their guidelines, and were able to move past that. But that, in that phase alone, it kind of held us up for about 4 to 6 weeks. Kind of depends how you look at it. But since then, as we've gone south and into the residential area, we're back on track. We're scheduled to roughly finish, you know, third to fourth week in September, open it back up to the residents. But the residents have been outstanding to work with. You know, typically you get a little bit of grumbling, but all in all, it's probably one of the best projects we've had in years as far as just the community, not understanding of the process, being patient with us, and working with us as well.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things, and I've heard as it opened up, like across the street at Tencio's Market, they seemed to be really happy with the improvements once it was done and they saw it. You know, it's one of those things when you hear it's coming, you know the city's working on it, but until you actually see it and you watch the work, you're not quite sure what everyone's talking about. And we've heard nothing but really actually positive things about how it's turned out at the end once you get completed with the section.
Yeah, we're very pleased with the first phase. The second phase is actually completed. We're just waiting to combine the paving with the third phase, which is really 11th Street to the south into through the intersection of 13th Avenue. And that's kind of where we're at right now. We're over excavating that area. All the utilities have been replaced. We're preparing to get the dirt work completed, and then the final phase, which would incorporate phase two, that's the final paving all the way to the end of the project.
So I think what last time we talked, some of it was contingent on how well the city sales tax and the dedicated sales tax to the street trust fund was going. Sounds like revenue continues to be good there, and that you're going to get through the State Avenue project in 2022?
That's correct. Yeah, it's a combination between savings that we were able to carry over from phase four and five of First Street, carry that into State Avenue. Phase three was scheduled to do 2023, but with that savings, the increased sales tax, we're able to get all this done in 1 year. So we'll be in and out State Avenue in 1 year.
Nice. How does that feel?
It's nice. One, I feel like we're accomplishing things. We're spending money appropriately. We're doing the best we can with the funds available.
Well, and you know, and it's not just State Avenue that you and Rachel have been paying attention to and working through, and Main Street. We've heard a lot about Main Street. We know there's more to come on Main Street. One of the questions I've had is, where's the city with its beacon crossing lights, which has been part of the strategy? City has other things, and I wonder how that whole project has turned out for the City of Alamosa, with the goal to bring more people into the downtown corridor. I wonder if we can get an update on that.
Sure. So rectangular rapid flashing beacons are RRFBs. They'll be at four intersections downtown. So we've got San Juan and Main and San Juan and 6th, and then Hunt and Main and Hunt and 6th. And so we've been working through that engineering process for close to a year. And it's been really kind of a collaboration with CDOT and our District 5 office, because we experienced some things when we did the road diet last year. You know, we had a lot of public pushback, and then we had that conversation with council, and then Harry and his gracious crews went and, you know, bumped all those parking blocks down a little bit. And so I think we were really conscientious to make sure that the plan that goes on the ground right now is really the best plan, both for public feedback and also just functionality. So we've been talking and collaborating with CDOT for probably 8 months, trying to hammer out the details. So I think we've got our final engineering plan. We're waiting to hear about some of our funding, because it was partially grant funded by the Revitalized Main Street program with CDOT. And so waiting to hear on some of that funding that was secured about a year and a half ago. And then I think we should be able to put it out for bid. So we're really excited. It's gonna really change the pedestrian corridor of those intersections, because there just aren't safe places to cross on those two streets.
Do you anticipate that that will get done this year, or are you looking into 2023 now?
I keep crossing my fingers right. That we can get it done this fall. I mean, it's a pretty fast project, but I think with the delays in supplies and just how busy everyone is, it's really impossible to predict.
Yeah. And what about the striping on Main Street? I know that was quite the experience. You tackled it with CDOT. You came back and tackled it again with CDOT. Is it good?
Oh, I think it's successful. Yeah. CDOT will maintain the standard striping, and then it'll be the city's responsibility to do the bump outs and kind of the parking lanes and stuff like that. So moving forward, we're always going to be working together to keep it fresh.
You know, that's one of the things that I don't know that we that rely on you as city officials, we don't always see the relationships that happen between agencies. In this case, we're talking about the City of Alamosa, City of Alamosa Public Works, City of Alamosa Planning Department, City of Alamosa Development Services Department, working with Caro Department of Transportation, because Caro Department of Transportation controls US 160, controls Main Street because it is a state highway. Give us some insights into that relationship and how you have to work that to get to where you're trying to get to.
Well, CDOT, they're always very structured, and they have a very firm set of guidelines on how they want to see things, you know, presented, you know, how they want it engineered. So that's always tricky. And for us, it's a little bit of a learning curve. We haven't had a lot of involvement with CDOT, at least as I've been there. CDOT's had a lot of turnover themselves. So it takes a lot. It takes a lot of communication. And I think we've really bridged a gap that we had experienced before with CDOT. I think in building that relationship with their current staff, I think we're starting to understand how CDOT works a little better. I think CDOT's starting to understand how they work a little better. I think collaboratively, they're all, everything is coming together much better. But it just takes time with CDOT. I mean, nothing happens quickly. You know, any set of plans you submit, you know, it's going to take 6 months to get reviewed and get some feedback.
That's a very polite answer by Harry. but on a serious note, too, players change. The structure at a state agency can change because they got a new boss. And then and that takes a while for that new boss then. So you go through those changes and relationship changes while at the same time you're trying to get done what you're trying to get done for your local residents. Is it frustrating at all? I know that you have to maintain good relationships because you do rely on them.
I think that, so they sort of had a reshuffling right as I started with the city. So we've all been in our positions for about a year.
Gotcha.
And I think that there were some growing pains, but the executive director of CDOT was actually here last week. So Shoshana Liu was here. And she said that our relationship with our district office is one of the best in the state. And so I think that it's a real testament to the fact that they have been flexible. I mean, striping or some of the creative things we've done on Main Street, a lot of other districts would just say no to. And ours, you know, Julie Constant and Jennifer Allison out of that office have been really good about just listening to our plans and being collaborative with us. When we talked about, you know, some of the sightline issues on Main Street that we were getting complaints about, we had phone calls where, you know, we would just talk through options. And sometimes they were crazy options, like, let's do speed bumps on Main Street. And Harry and I were like, no, we really will not do speed bumps on Main Street ever. But, you know, just the fact that they're willing to have those conversations with us is a real shift in CDOT itself. So that CDOT is talking about planning and talking about pedestrian scale and multimodal projects and doing that sort of creative thinking that's not usually the traditional realm of engineers, I think that's a huge transformational shift in that organization. And it's been really good for the city.
And, you know, from Alamosa's perspective and from the town residents' perspective, because we're on a state highway, Main Street, 5th Street coming through Alamosa, and then 6th Street coming the other way, eastbound, we have to rely on CDOT and their understanding of what the community's trying to get done, what the city wants to get done, and we really have to rely on them to be able to do that. And you're working, you have the 6th Street Corridor Improvement Project. That's another intersection with CDOT that you have to work through, you and Harry. Mm-hmm. And so there has to be a game plan from your end of how do I attack this? What's the relationship? How do I get what I'm trying to get done, right?
Yep. Well, and ultimately, it's their decision. CDOT has every power in the world to just say no to things. And so we've really been lucky that there's a leadership team in place that's open-minded to some of these projects, and especially with the 6th Street transformation. I know 6th Street can be a real eyesore, and there's a lot of things going on that road that we don't have a lot of control over because it's a railroad. We've got a lot of vacant properties. But I think there's some real progress happening right now. We've got Friday Health Plans, which I know you're going to speak to later. And then there's going to be a new parking lot with the Convention and Visitors Bureau that's going to be for RV parking. There's also the things about the Walsh that we have to talk about. And just trying to beautify what's essentially just a really industrial corridor. It's constantly on the forefront of our mind. How do we make 6th Street inviting? How do we make it an attractive place for our residents? And then also a place where tourists don't, when they're headed, you know, eastbound, they still stop in Alamosa because it's a place where they want to stop.
Yeah, we're going to keep talking about 6th Street. In fact, you also pushed through a zoning change on 6th Street to help you with some of that. We're going to keep talking about that when we come right back. This is the Valley Pod.
Hi, I'm Allison Cruz, manager of the Narrow Gauge Book Cooperative. The Narrow Gauge has a great assortment of new and used books, local art, handmade gifts, literary items, and so much more. Stop in for the latest bestsellers, new arrivals, and favorite classics. So come on in to the Narrow Gauge Book Cooperative, located on the corner of State and Main in Alamosa, where the Valley's local independent bookstore open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. See you soon.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Rachel Baird and Harry Reynolds with the City of Alamosa. And we're talking about 6th Street. We're talking about the improvements that are going all over Alamosa. And it's very, you can see it. There's a lot of evidence of all the improvements that City of Alamosa is pushing through. And we're talking about tourists and attracting tourists through Alamosa too, because of that, how what is attracting from the sand dunes and all the traffic that comes through. My wife says something that I think is very profound when we're talking about residents, we're talking about tourists, and she says the city should just focus on making the town good for residents. And when you make it good for residents, then everyone else likes it, including tourists. She kind of likes that whole spin on, let's make it Alamosa the best it can be for the people who live here and all these improvements we're seeing. And then that will then convey its own self to tourists as they come through Alamosa and want to spend time here. Does that make any sense to you?
I absolutely agree. And I think that that's maybe at the core of my belief system as a planner. Is that I want to make Alamosa is where I live. It's where I'm from here, and I'm going to stay here, and I want this to be the most livable, vibrant community it can be. And then it does speak for itself. And so traditional economic development, where people used to try to bring in like call centers to small towns, that doesn't work. That doesn't appeal to millennials or Generation Z. What appeals to them is having really cool, livable towns. And all the things that we're trying to achieve in Alamosa for our residents, it's just an organic process. I mean, people will move here because they just love Alamosa. And the people that live here will continue to love Alamosa. So there's so many things, and there's such a strong sense of place in Alamosa. Like, this could only be Alamosa, Colorado. And I think that it's really important as a planner to keep that in place.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, and you are pushing Rachel on quite a few things. And to do that, you have to have somewhat of a vision of what you want and where you're trying to go for it. It does seem that Alamosa has that vision. We were talking about State Avenue construction, and I want to switch back to Harry to ask him, what's next? What's after State Avenue on your street funds priority list? We've done First. You're doing State. What comes after that?
Our next big project is Victoria. Victoria Avenue. So we started, we started this year putting in a stormwater collection basin. There's just not a good way to get stormwater all the way to the river, so we had to be ahead of the game and create a stormwater basin. It basically holds it for about 24 hours before it can make its way to the river. So early next spring, we'll start right there at First Street where we left off on that intersection of Stewart, and we'll continue working north. So we're going to start that right at the end of school year, probably April is what we're looking for, and then our goal is to complete it before school starts in the fall.
When you think of or you have the projects in the pipeline, how did the city prioritize and how did it prioritize its staging of what comes first, what comes next? How did you guys do that?
So that was all developed through the Street Trust Fund Committee. So they went out, they basically assessed our roads. They came back to staff and said, this is how we want to prioritize a list. And we gave them a projection of funding. So we broke out smaller projects and made it done with larger, more expensive projects. So we had kind of a 10-year plan. And with that, that plan went to council. They shuffled things around. And that's what you saw on the ballot. So the projects are going to go in order per the ballot, and it might shift a year or two, basically, depending on funding. Right now we're ahead, but with the increased inflation that we've seen, we're going to have to kind of pull the reins back. So next year will be Victoria, possibly. If the funding holds, we'll do a little section between on La Vida between Main and 6th, right there by Sonic. Mm-hmm. That's one of the smaller projects that we'll plug in, if possible. If not, that'll go to 2024. But the big project for 2024 is Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, that'll connect basically Tremont to the elementary school.
Nice. Yeah. That's a good heads up from Harry Reynolds. Rachel, I want to go back to 6th Street because the city issued a letter recently to the owner of the Wash Hotel. And that's part of the city's efforts in its improvement of 6th Street corridor. What's going on with the Walsh? What's the city's position? And what do you expect to occur over the next month to 60 days?
So this thing with the Walsh has been going on a lot longer than I've been with the city. And so there was the arson, the fire, the investigation, the murder investigation. It's a kind of a sordid history. And then obviously the building itself is just structurally unsound. And so when it was sold last summer from the owner that owned it during kind of all of that those issues, and it was sold to a venture capitalist out of Colorado Springs. And so they bought it, and they did do some structural assessments, and theoretically, the building, some parts of it are salvageable, but at this point, it's been so abused and misused for so long, there's just no feasible way to fix it. And we also feel that because it's a venture capitalist and someone that really, has flipped and invested in properties across the state, there must also be some unknowns about that building that make it not work in terms of financial feasibility of rehabbing the building. And so even though it breaks my heart to tear down historic buildings, I think that the Walsh has to go. And so the city manager did send out a letter last week and gave a couple deadlines, one in August, one in September, basically saying, hey, we need a contract from you as the owner saying that you're demolishing this building and you're doing asbestos abatement and we need it now. I think that the complaints from the community have really reached like a fever pitch. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people in there and they're kind of harassing some of the business owners near there, and it's becoming a real, real issue. We have a contract right now with our building inspector to hire a firm to go board it up again. But I mean, ultimately, it's just a waiting game because they'll pull the boards off again. So it's doing the best we can until we can actually take the building down.
So I wonder if the city has any expectations. Once that building's demolished and you have a clean space there, are there any expectations or any wants or any vision that the city has for that particular block?
I don't know if we have a vision for it per se. Like, I think we're starting to get to a point where we have good parking downtown with our new parking lots coming. It would be wonderful if it was a new building. But I think more than anything else, we'll probably make sure that we have some sort of a say. So when we sold the Pink Elephant lot after the city helped tear that building down, we didn't put any deed restrictions on the property. And so that's why it kind of just languishes. And so I think that one of the things that we'll do no matter what is, try to find a good partnership, try to find a good business or a good use for that lot, and then make sure there's protections in place so that they have an obligation to actually build. So it's not just an empty vacant lot forever.
Yeah, I wonder about some of that. I'm going to give you a quick story here. As a kid growing up here in Alamosa, and I would deliver the Valley Courier after elementary school. We'd all get our newspapers, and I was on the street hawking papers for 10 cents at that time. And you'd run down Main Street into all the buildings, all the bars, including the Walsh Hotel, and you'd run in there and you'd sell papers and you'd hawk papers, and then you'd cover the town like that. Mm-hmm, and I have these memories of, and so when I think of these corners now, 6th and State, that used to be a row of bars right there. You used to have Beefs. Mm-hmm. You used to have Jamil's. That's gone. It's an empty lot now. The city hopes to. We see it on Walsh now, and that could come down. Mm-hmm. Empty lot there, takes away. So you want the city to bring these areas of blocks back to life. You don't want them just to necessarily be vacant. You want to see new projects there, I would say.
I think we explored every option to try to rehabilitate the Walsh, you know, because how almost it does have a bad history of tearing down historic buildings. If you look at some historic photographs of our downtown, we had a gorgeous downtown, but little by little, we've taken a lot of buildings down. So I think that, you know, between the city's historic preservation committee and the goals of our downtown plan, we're trying to preserve what we can, but that building is just so much of a nuisance that I don't think we have a choice at this juncture. And then again, once it's a clean slate, you know, I think that will go a long way towards not only that property improving, but the adjacent properties improving too.
Yeah, and you do see that. You know, we see that with the new restaurant on 4th Street, which was boarded up. You had homeless in there. It was becoming a problem. Mm-hmm. You see a new restaurateur coming in there. She cleans up that property. It's now back to life. You see people going in there. You see 4th Street and people parking along there, and you see the potential mm-hmm. of that corridor now coming back to life and extending to 5th Street, 6th Street, and that whole area there. I think that's a great vision that the city has demonstrated, and I hope that there's a way to keep moving that forward. I don't know how you keep doing that, keep finding developers, keep finding people that want to invest in the community that we live in, but that's a big challenge of yours.
We have a wonderful economic development director, Kathy Woods, and she's out there all the time, just talking to people and trying to find the right spaces for the right businesses. And we just have a great leadership team at the city. You know, I think, and then we have great community partnerships. Like, we just communicate with everyone. We have a great Main Street committee. We have a bunch of really committed business owners, a bunch of committed nonprofits. Like, we just have the communication network in place. We, for our Ready Parking Lot Rural Economic Development Initiative, the program director from DOLA came down, and one of the things he said is, you know, we don't really fund parking lots. Like, this is a weird economic development project. And we're like, yeah, we know. But they said one of the reasons that it was so attractive is Alamosa has those partnerships in place. You guys collaborate and have stakeholders, and it's not like you apply for a grant. You say, hey, we're going to build these partnerships. They already exist. And that's really different than a lot of small communities.
Well, and you know, for me, it feels like there's still more to come, that it's an untold story. We know the railroad's getting ready to be sold again, hopefully out of bankruptcy. We'll see if that happens. We see the improvements, but it feels like Alamosa is, at this point in time, a story still being told, still unveiling itself in the 21st century. That's what it kind of feels like. We're still figuring out in the 21st century where this town is going and how much of its potential is it going to be able to reach. Harry, what do you think about that?
Oh, I think you're spot on. I mean, I think we're right at the bubble of really seeing this continue to grow and be something special, you know. So I think you're right on.
I wonder what's coming next too. You know, we talked about what's coming after State Avenue and the streetscapes project. You're going to go to Victoria, then you're going to go to Washington. I wonder, Rachel, what is new in your world? What's coming up? You got a lot on your plate always.
I have a really cool job. So we got the $1.2 million to do the Hunt Avenue Cultural Trail. So that is a really big deal.
Explain that.
So it's the it's between, I guess, 5th Street, where the new CVB parking lot will be, uh-huh. all the way to City Hall, and it's all of Hunt Avenue. So by the museum, by Porter Realty, by the Valley Motel, that whole area will be torn up, and a new street's going to be put in, but it'll have widened pedestrian sidewalks and art and interpretive historic signs and new planting, and it's supposed to be an attractive pedestrian corridor.
Nice.
So we can get all the people that like are at the early iron to walk from Cole Park to our downtown to, you know, shop and eat. And so it's never really been a very hospitable pedestrian corridor,
right?
And so it needs to be beautiful, it needs to be inviting, and it needs to be safe. And so all of those changes will be funded by the Revitalized Main Street program by CDOT. We are successful in securing one of those grants. and there's no match from the city. So no taxpayer money goes into it other than the grant funds coming from the state level.
So it sounds like more work for Harry and his crew. So then I wonder, what's the timeline for that? Because you're burying this guy and his public works crew with projects. So now I wonder, what is the realistic timeline for something like that? I mean, which it sounds great, the Hunt Avenue corridor, Harry.
Yeah, exactly. We joke about this in the office all the time about how we're going to get this all done. You know, we're in the beginning stages. Really what that is developing the RFP for the engineering. Engineering takes a while. Then you have a lot of communications and utilities that have to be relocated and then the street rebuild. So, you know, it's really a two-year process, and we're in the beginning stages of it.
Gotcha. You know, and that actually works out well because the Visit Alamosa group just put in RV parking in that corridor right there on Hunt. And so then you have people parking there, potentially then discovering that Hunt Avenue corridor up into Cole Park, understanding and seeing Main Street as you go that way. I see where that can go. It sounds like a pretty exciting thing. The other thing that I know that is coming up, Rachel, and that is the levee work that has to occur in Alamosa on the Rio Grande. I know the Army Corps of Engineers focused in there, you're focused there, the county's focused there. Tell us a bit about that project, what's going to happen, and when that's going to happen.
It's a real legacy project for the city. So, and if I'm being honest, even though I love projects like the Hunt Trail, really the next probably 5 years of my life are going to be about the levee.
Gotcha.
And so I've been peripherally involved in this project longer than I've worked for the government. And basically, we have to work with the Army Corps of Engineers. We have to work with FEMA. We have to work with the Colorado Water Conservation Board. There's a lot of partners. We're working with Alamosa County because half of the project is theirs. Really great partnerships there. And we have to rebuild major sections of the levee. And the issue here is I think there was a lot of rumblings about this in like 2009 about how the levees were being decertified.
Right.
And I don't think people know there's two different programs. So we did get dropped out of the program where the Army Corps will come in and rebuild your levee. So it's basically like an insurance program for the levee itself. So if it fails, the Army Corps will come in and rebuild it for you. The program that we are still part of is the National Flood Insurance Program. And that's the important one. That's the one that makes it so our residents don't have to pay flood insurance and it keeps our housing affordable. And so that's really the push, is keeping our community insured by that federal program and making sure that our levees meet FEMA certifications. And so we're about to put out an RFP for a certifying engineer. We did a preliminary assessment on the levee that was wrapped up in 2019. And I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of pages that we've just been trying to evaluate and sort through. And so now it's really just the next step is getting, you know, a good schedule to FEMA about what our milestones are going to be, and then actually getting the construction work done. And then a less fun part where there's a lot of encroachments on the levee. You know, there's an infamous hot tub that even the Army Corps from Albuquerque will bring up. And so we have to look at some of those things, and the community has to understand at large that we all have to work together, and we're going to have to make some sacrifices so that our levee's safe, so that our whole community can be safe.
That's going to be a huge project. Appreciate you giving us a heads up on it. Appreciate you giving a heads up on everything you guys are doing in the city of Alamosa. A lot of great work. You've been listening to The Valley Pod and our episode with the city of Alamosa's Rachel Baird and Harry Reynolds. The Valley Pod is produced by Angel Rodriguez and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We'll see you around the valley.